the book of Luke chapter 8. I will rush the portion of that chapter 8 that we have been reading. We are just going to focus on one last part of it. From verse 5, it says, "The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And there were those," in verse 7, "that fell amongst the thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it out." And then he said that the last group, in verse 8, fell into good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great, that is, as great as that which was planted. And then he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." That is, as I'm speaking these things, pay attention and know how it applies to your life. Pay attention and make sure you get a good interpretation of it so that you can adapt your life, all right, according to God's word, so that you will be able to bear fruit. That's what he meant when he said, "As he that hears ears, let him hear." Then he began to give the interpretation. From verse 11, he says, "The seed is the word of God." Please notice that. The seed is what? All right. He said, now, when the word of God is sown, verse 12, some will fall by the road, and some people will hear it. Matthew says, without their understanding it, the devil will come and remove the word. So they will not believe and be saved. That is, if they believe, that will have been the key to their salvation. They will have been saved. And salvation doesn't mean that now I go to church. That's a mistake we make. Salvation means that I have been pulled out of the wrong situation that I was in, and now I have come into a right situation. Do you understand my point? I have been removed from the center of sickness. I have been brought into healing. I have been removed from failure. I have been brought into success. I have been removed from confusion in life and hopelessness. And God has given me hope. That's the meaning of the word salvation. And that's what the word of God is supposed to produce. If you obey that word, it will always produce. Let me say this again. I've said it several times as we've been going about on this study. Today is our fourth day on it. It is not possible, hear it clearly, it is not possible for any person to hear God's word, believe it, and it will not produce in the person's life. It is not possible. What goes wrong a lot of times is that people sometimes are promised what the preacher cannot deliver, and God never promised. That is why people say the word is not working. It is not possible. The word can never not work. Do you follow my point? The only time it doesn't work is when people don't believe that word. The only time it doesn't work, are you getting my point, is when people assume that God promised what he didn't promise. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me say this again. I know it has become like a pet project to me, but it's my best example, all right, to illustrate why people say the word does not work. A man gets up and sows a gigantic seed toward his 2009 breakthrough. 2009 passes, he doesn't get anything. And he says it doesn't work. Yes, what didn't work is that somebody said, if you give one single offering, your whole life will change. God never said so. Do you get the point? God never said so. The word of God works all the time. What am I saying? Jesus said, if they hear and believe, they will be saved. I don't want to go over that again. We've discussed it before. If you're not around those days, please get the whole series, all right? Today is the fourth in the series, profiting from God's word. Now, we read that, okay, the other ones, verse 13, those ones that fell on rocky soil didn't have depths of earth. They received the word with joy, and they were excited. That's what he was saying. But then when it came to the word producing, one of the things that must happen, all right? Or let me say, when it comes to the word producing, one of the things that must happen in your life is that you must be tested. You will go through the times of trial. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, those times of trial is when you know those who really have root and those who don't have root. Now, because these people didn't have root, after a while, they fell away. All right? Now, where we are going is the last part. Like I said, we have been on this for a while. If you are not around, please get the CD. So I don't have time to go over all of that thing. And then he said, let's just think about the last group. Let's quickly jump to verse 15. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. They got that word into their good and honest heart and held it. He said, they hold fast to that word and they bear fruit with what? Perseverance. Please notice that word. They bear fruit with perseverance. We have seen all of these things. What I said there when we're discussing this is that, like I said, God doesn't promise anything overnight. Let me say this to you again, just to help all of us. When God, I want to use Abraham as an example. When God called Abraham, he said, I will make you a great nation. A prerequisite for having a great nation is having at least one child. Do you understand my point? You must have offspring that will multiply and become the great nation. Abraham didn't have. God said, I will make you a great nation. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, why I brought that one up is that it took 25 years from the time that God gave that word to the time Isaac will be born. And hear this again. Read Ecclesiastes chapter 11. It said, when the clouds are full, all right, they pour forth rain upon the earth. When you talk about rain, rain is a type of the blessing that God wants to pour into people's lives. Did I hear an amen? Rain is a type. So when God wants to pour a blessing to your life, what he does is that he allows your cloud to be full. And do you know who fills up your cloud? Let me tell you. You. You are the one that will fill up your cloud. So God said to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. What does that mean? It means that Abraham, every time in life, I will give you instruction. Then I will test you through some circumstances. Then, depending on how you react to those tests, your cloud will continue to fill. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Do you get the point I'm making? When, as an example, God kept on telling him, occasionally you hear it, look, this is my plan for you. You will become great. Then a day came, there was quarrel between him and Lot's people. Which choice will he make? That was the test. When he was ready to let Lot go, all right, and allow Lot take the most, you know, physically speaking, precious part of the land, he passed the test. His cloud was getting fuller. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. Are you getting the point I'm making? There was a time, again, all right, when he had to go maybe to war to go and rescue Lot, okay? And then he met Melchizedek. And then he honored Melchizedek, one. Number two, he turned to the king of Sodom and said, lest you say I made Abraham great. He made a choice. He let everything go, left there with nothing. His cloud was getting full. What God was saying is that I've trained this man, I'm testing him. As you pass the test of God, you add to your cloud. Are you following my point? And then last of all, many things happened throughout his life. Then last of all, the year before Isaac was born, God was going to Sodom and Gomorrah to go and destroy it. And Abraham did not know who was going anywhere. He just saw strangers walking in the wilderness. And he knew they had to be tired. And he showed them hospitality. And Peter said, let's not forget to entertain strangers, because men have entertained angels without knowing they were angels. This is what I'm making. When God wanted to bless Abraham, the last thing he had to do was to entertain those strangers. Please notice this word. He was not aware that they were what? Angels. What am I saying? 25 years of filling his cloud. Eventually, God looked at him and said, tell your wife, this time next year, she will deliver. The woman said, you must be kidding me. But she delivered. Are you getting my point? God gave. Now, I'm bringing out something here. God never fails anybody. The problem is that people want to set time for God. Somebody told you that, do this and immediately God will just explode. You did it. God didn't do anything special. And you thought that the word of God doesn't work. Listen, what refused to work is that I did not send them, God said, yet they prophesied. People want to quickly do something and get exciting results. Please, and then we like to testify. I want to say, who has a testimony? Testimonies are good. You understand my point? But occasionally, we want to now use that as a justification of the fact that these things happen quickly. All right? These things happen quickly. Immediately, like somebody used to say, today, Jesus must answer me today. He answers, he always does, but sometimes he doesn't manifest the answer that day. Please, I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. So, what am I saying here? God always, when he called Abraham, it took 25 years for everything to be put together for Isaac to be born. God had to train Abraham in faith. The word of God works all the time. And that's why we read here, he said, they bear fruit with what? Perseverance. They bear fruit with what? Perseverance. In the times of trial, they don't change their mind. Please forgive me. I'm always talking about money matter. Will you forgive me? I want to correct your brain, all right? Because there's so much funny teaching out there that we need to teach that which is true, which is correct. Okay? It said they bring forth fruit with perseverance. What I always like to say is this. Whatever it is you cannot continue, don't start. You hear what I said? That which you are not willing to continue, don't start. Please, this is the way it works with Christianity. It's a continual walk with God. I want to emphasize that. You can't give one offering and get a breakthrough tomorrow. Please, you can't. It's not possible. God never promised it. What you do is, look, I'll give myself as a testimony. All right? I'm not going to tell you what God did in my life. Suddenly, I'm just going to tell you the way I have learned it. I can be looking for money. If it happened recently, I needed a lot of money to do certain things. As I was looking for that money, trying to gather it, I remembered, oh, there's this charity work that my wife and I does. While waiting for money, I did that one. Now, you get what I'm saying? Because, you see, that's what we mean by bearing fruit with perseverance. In the center of my need, I continued my responsibility. Do you follow what I mean? There was a time I needed to buy something. And there was a pledge my wife and I had made in our hearts towards a particular ministry work somewhere. So because of that, because of the need we had, we temporarily forgot that and we're trying to do what we had to do. Then I told my wife one day, I said, wait, oh, this is what is called sin. That wait, are you trusting yourself or you are trusting God? Say, we're not trusting ourselves, we are trusting God. I said, therefore, let us continue in doing good. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, I wasn't trying to bribe God. Do you follow what I mean? No, but because what I am doing is the right thing to do, I am supposed to be doing good. So even in the midst of my own need, I continued my good doing. And as God is my, in fact, you know, I don't have the stupid head to be tying something to it. God, as I'm about to do this, you go do something. God will say, okay, if I don't do anything, go and call the police. The policeman that will arrest me and charge me to the court. You know, a lot of the off, we like to make deals with God and we don't know whether he's signing the other part of the line. You know, people, somebody have told me before that you can use this one to challenge God. I said, you see, you think he's your mate. You challenge him. You challenge those who are not sure of themselves. Are you getting what I'm saying? I said, God doesn't, you can't challenge God. If God has made a promise, obey him, the fruit is yours. Do you get my point? He said, I said, how do you challenge somebody when you are not sure that's what he wants to do? You go and you come and say, I will challenge Pastor Banky. I will get to Bible study today by 12 o'clock. And when I will have gotten there, he will give me 5,000. Did I ever tell you that I was planning to give money to those who come early? All I said is that if you come late, I lock the door against you. That's all I ever promised. So if you come early, you will get the fruit of open door. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? You want to obey God, you obey him continually without tying strings to the obedience. They bore fruit with what? With perseverance. Even when they were not getting what they would have loved to get, they continued to hold fast to the word. Even when they were persecuted for righteousness' sake, they did not stop doing righteously. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, even when, you know the way it is, unconsciously we think that obey God, prosperity will come. Let me tell you the way it is most of the time. If you were prospering in disobedience before, when you start obedience, what you first meet is lack of prosperity. Maybe before you did was bribe, court, kick front, kick back. Then you started hearing the gospel that said, that's not the way business is supposed to be done. And you want to start God's way. Oh boy, listen, the first few jobs nobody is going to give you. Your payment is going to get stalled here and there. Do you follow my point? Then some people will say, righteousness does not pay. That was why in Malachi, all right? The people were lamenting. They said, what good is it that we have served God and we have walked mournfully before him? He said, now we are calling the wicked blessed and those who try God, they go scot-free. But you know what God said? He said, you don't understand that I have the day coming. Do you understand that? He said, the day is coming that shall burn like an oven. That is, right now the day hasn't come. So you think, do you follow, that those who are disobeying me are the ones that are prospering? He said, but the day will come when I will make a distinction between those that serve God and those who don't serve him. Now listen, until that day, you will do righteously and you wonder whether it has any fruit. Do you follow the point I'm making? That's why he said they bear fruit with what? Perseverance. That you don't change your mind just because the one you are following now is not getting quick results. Let me tell you again. Be careful. He said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Therefore, God does not use possession to validate anybody's life. Do you get my point? The God who said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses, does not enter into competition to use material possession to show who is obeying him and who is not obeying him. Now, so the point I was making is that the word of God always works. Is that all right? But then we have to be ready to hold fast onto it in the midst of trials, in the midst of temptations, that life will always have you tested. That's how God knows those who really want to bless. I was explaining something about the day. I said what? The day. That there is a day that is coming when God will distinguish between those who serve him and those who didn't serve him. And until that day, it may appear as if the word is not working. Are you getting my point? So that's why I'm just emphasizing that one again. That he said that, and they hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. They hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. I explained to us before that holding it fast means the thing is about, somebody is trying to remove it from your hands. Or the thing wants to slip away. Remember we said that from Hebrews? He said, let's be careful. He said in Hebrews chapter 2, that this thing doesn't slip away from us. Once we have heard the word, there is a tendency that the thing might slip. It's our responsibility to ensure that it does not slip from us. I hope you get that point. Now, that's where we ended in all of these our discussions. And there's a last portion of it that we need to read. And that's what I want to explain today. That's what I ended with on Tuesday, if you were around. I want to just develop it further and then we'll close. Verse 16. Having said all of these things, Jesus said something. Now, before I read it, please listen to me for a second. Remember what he said? He said, the seed is what? The word of God. And if you go and read Mark chapter 4, he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who sowed seed into the ground. He said, the earth by itself produces. He himself does not know how. And he said, the seed is the word of God. So he said that if the seed is planted in a good and honest heart, okay, and the person holds it even through all the times of testing, that he will bear fruit eventually. Do you understand that? Now notice this, the word bears fruit once he finds a good and honest heart, and the person is willing to persevere in holding on to the word of God. I hope you get that point. Now, bear that one in mind. That is the summary of everything we read earlier. Now, let's now read that verse 16. It said, now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on the lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. The reason is that there's nothing hidden that shall not become evident, and there's nothing secret that shall not be known and come to light, that is for everybody to see. Therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. Please hold that and quickly go to the book of Revelations. Revelation chapter 1. If you read from that chapter 1, John was describing the vision that he saw. And concerning the Jesus that he saw, he said he had seven stars in his hand, and he stood in the middle of the lampstands, seven golden lampstands. If you read verse 12, all right? He said, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands, I saw a son of man clothed in a robe. All right? And in verse 14, he says, he described the person. I just want to say something. Verse 16, he said, and in his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in his strength. Now, where I want to go really there is verse 20. He said, as for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, he said, the seven stars are the angels or the messengers or the heads, the people in charge of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Please, I want you to notice another thing. When he was giving a message to, for example, to the church in Ephesus, he said to them that they should be careful. Read verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at the first. Or else I am coming to you and I will remove your lampstand out of its place. unless you repent. Please, I hope you've noticed that. I'll pass a few comments on it, and then we'll go back to where we were. Now, notice that Jesus said something there. I am the one, in effect, that's in charge of the lampstand. I can remove the lampstand, or I can put a lampstand. Do you understand the point? Now, notice something. Just bear that one in mind, and go back to where we were, Luke chapter 8. Don't bother reading it. I'll just explain what he said is there. He said, no one after lighting a lamp, okay, hides it. If you light a lamp, it's not for under the bed. It's for a prominent place so that it can shine. The Bible says that out of Zion will flow forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. What does that mean? He said, arise, shine, all right, because your light has what? Has come. That is, what happens anytime somebody's light comes is that he shines. Do you understand the point? And I'm bringing out something here, that the lampstand upon which you will shine is whose lampstand? The Lord Jesus Christ gives you a lampstand once your light has come. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying here. Jesus said, now let me tell you what a lampstand is. I gave an example last time, which I think is for me is the most beautiful example. You've heard me use her as an example a lot of times, Mary Kay Ash. Mary Kay Ash said that she, after she retired from direct sales business, she decided to write a book, listen to this, on how sales are supposed to be done. Do you know, while editing our Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategy seminar messages, I was happy we did that seminar. There were some basic things that I didn't even remember that we taught, all right, that were there. And I said, if anybody will do these things with prayer, that is, you pray and commit your ways to God, it is not possible that you will not succeed in life in doing business. Listen, you may not make 10 million naira overnight. Do you understand my point? Please, forget that quick money thing. No matter the amount of offering you give, you will not become rich suddenly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is not God's order to just, you know, you just see, you know, someone want to come and testify, one string testimony. I'm not interested. What we want is constant work with God. Do you understand my point? And a persistent increase until you finally succeed and your name becomes great. Do you follow the point I'm making? Get that one very clear. Now, if you practice those things, let me just say this to you again. I've said this 10,000 times. Maybe not literally, all right, but many times. God promises you the same thing the devil is promising you. Listen, God may not come harassing you, but he has about the same promise for this life as the devil tries to offer people. Let me explain what I'm saying. He came to Jesus and said, jump down. No, he said, bow down and worship me, and I will give you everything. Do you follow? But Jesus refused. At the end of the day, the Bible says that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. It's the same thing. What is the difference? The difference is that Satan said, I will give you now. Bow down. Bow down. But God said, wait. Walk before me and be perfect, and I will bless you. Let me give you another example. How many of you remember the story of Joseph and Mrs. Potiphar? Joseph had everything under his control in that house. Of course, apart from Mrs. Potiphar, the boundaries set around him excluded Mrs. Potiphar. So what was she doing? She was offering him more than he had been given. Listen, let's look at it on a spiritual perspective. She was offering him more than he had already. Those who don't understand, they will say, you have the madam, you have everything. She comes under your control, but there's one problem. She had to bow to Satan to get her. Bowing to Satan, a lot of us don't understand. We think you have to go and look for one shigiri. No, you got shigiri. One carving, an idol, you put it down and pour libation in his head. You know, that's why the white man makes me laugh. He thinks the African man worships the devil and he doesn't. Listen, those who do real Satan worship, they don't have any shrine. They don't have any shrine. The Bible says those that worship him, that is God, we worship him in spirit and what? In truth. Those who want to really serve Satan, the same thing. They don't need a shrine. It's the wickedness of their hearts. You follow what I'm saying? That is, it is not when you are bowing down. He said, those who love money, it's not those who have photograph of money on their wall and every morning they kill a cock towards money. It's those who will do anything. Go against the word they have given. Stab their friend in the back. Steal if necessary. Lie, cheat to get money. They are the ones who worship money. No matter how much you desire to have money, as long as you are not ready to disobey God to have it, your desire is righteous. Do you follow the point I'm making? I brought that one up to explain the issue of Joseph again. That if Joseph had gone in with Mrs. Potiphar, he had worshipped the devil. I hope you are getting my point. And what the devil is promising is that, look, I will give you everything. But he did not. At the end of the day, did he get everything? More than everything. But first, like Jesus Christ, before Jesus got the whole kingdom of the earth, before he came boldly and said, all powers in the heavens and on the earth have been given unto me, first he had to go to the cross. Are you getting the point? He had to go around without any... You know, Jesus didn't have any property he could call his own. He's one man. If he was a preacher today, he won't have a car that's his own. But he will have every car in the world to use. He will just come to town. His disciples just call three people and say, bring all your cars. The Lord is in town. When they will finish, he will ride away again. Somebody else will carry him, drop in the next place. He had to borrow boats. He didn't even pay for them. Peter, can I use your boat for a few minutes? They said, where's your house? At the beginning, he had the house. After that, they said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I hope you're getting my point. Finally, the people he had suffered for took him, beat him, and killed him. Even on the cross, somebody was there abusing him. He was despised, the Bible said, and rejected. The Bible says, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. But by the time he was resurrected, he said, look at it. All powers in heavens and on earth. Listen to Joseph's situation also. Joseph, after all of that, where did he get into? Prison. Into the dungeon. That was now a slave in prison. But when he resurrected, are you seeing that? All powers in Egypt had been given unto him. Listen, it was what Satan was offering these people that God finally gave them beyond what they were planning to get. The difference is that in both situations, they had to go through the cross. That is why, listen, deliver yourself from the love of quick money. You know, it always makes me laugh. Drink this soft drink, and you can arrange these 10 bottles, you will get a car. I've seen Muguns drinking it. 7-Up did one, 1993, when I was a youth copper. To win a car, one man almost drank his life out. It was an NYC official in my camp in Taraba State. The guy will literally buy a crate of 7-Up and be drinking. And he made a statement, and I realized how foolish some human beings are. He said he has drank in Lagos. I'm not joking about this. You guys think I'm joking. That he has drank, now he's drinking in Taraba State. That he's thinking of now going to Kano to go and drink because it sounds like a joke, doesn't it? That evening, in Wukari, in my NYC camp, I was looking at this man, that this guy can't be serious. So you think the bottles are waiting for drinkers like you to arrive to drink? Because, you know, they always have one bottle that's missing. One cap that's missing. You spell car, maybe, or they will do this. Maybe the E will be scarce, or something like that. He had all the press they had, he had all the caps complete, apart from the crucial ones. He was going to go around drinking. You know me, I believe that, you know, I just believe, and God is the one that led me to that faith, that I can never win it. You know my reason? That's not the passport to prosperity. That's not the passport to prosperity. Quick money. Look, deliver yourself from it. So my wife loves Who Wants to Be a Millionaire a lot, and I think I watch it also. It's a very interesting program. But there was one lady once, she described how much money she had invested so that she can show up on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Over 30-something thousand, I remember, recharge card, playing millionaire online. And she was saying it, and Frankie Doho was saying, yes, all right, so it has finally paid off. And I told my wife, I said, look at it. Millions of people are watching it, not realizing that she's not the only one that did it. At least 500,000 people have done that stuff. MTN is getting richer. They ain't getting nothing. Some of them rich, they drop to 20,000 and walk home. Forget quick money. What you need in life is what? Persistent walk with God, eventually you will succeed. Please get that point. It's not overnight. It's not overnight. They bear fruit with perseverance. Listen, deliver yourself from it. There's a reason why I'm saying that. Some people say, it's just this one. Once I've gotten this one. Number one, you won't get that one. And the peradventure you did, after that, you want to continue because you have already formed the habit. You can't say, it's just this one. Once I finish with this one, I will now stop doing 419. Listen, two things. One, that's the one that will land you in jail. In 15 years' time, when you come out, all right, all your friends will be made and established. They didn't steal. You've allowed a few 419 people who are showing off to impress you that it's a path to progress. It is not. The wealth that endures is born with perseverance. Do you get my point? You will face your calling in life. We just finished our series, Life of Purpose. You will face what God asked you to do. Do you understand my point? You face it and then God blesses it. You will go through trying times. You will go through times when people will call you. Your father will call you and say, look, are you sure you don't need something else to do? Are you sure what you are saying? All right? Makes sense? Because they've watched the result and nothing good seems to be coming. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. Now, let me go back to what I was saying. That woman is an example. Mary Kay says she wrote the book. I've told that story several times. So as to tell people how to do business. Please listen to what I'm saying. Listen. That this is how it's supposed to be done. And then, listen. After she finished the book, she asked herself, who would want to read it? I'm not a known person. Nobody knows who I am, alright? Nobody will want to spend their money buying a book written by nobody. Now, listen to this. She decided to put the things into practice. Do you follow? That was why she started a company. And the company became very great. She was literally a billionaire. The company is currently worth, of course, they are still in private hands. They didn't go public. They went public once and came out. But this company is worth literally billions of dollars. Now, there's a reason why I told this story. Her light came, listen, and God gave her a platform to shine. Now, let me say that again. Her light came. What is light? Understanding. Illumination. Do you follow that point? Her light came and God gave her a platform to shine. This is the mistake people make. They want to create a platform. They don't have light. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let me tell you the practical application. Look, the life of a Christian is different. God said, my ways are not your ways. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. What does that mean? When you guys want success in life, you go and struggle to get it. He said, when I want to produce something, I speak. He said, so shall my word be that goes forth. It's by my word that I produce results. He said, the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, that is, when he wanted results, he brought what? Illumination. A word. He said, let there be light. I'm bringing out something. That's how he gets results. He says, so shall my word be. Let me tell you something. They talk about generational curses. You've heard it. We're in Africa. We say it all the time. This is the problem my father had. It's starting the case in my family. People think that means there's a witch hanging around. Let me say it to you again. I know a lot of people don't want to hear this. There's no witch hanging around. You know what's hanging around? Bad thoughts. Bad concepts. You have imbibed everything your father said. And that is what is producing in your life again. Listen. You've gone through, maybe you look in your family, they've had experiences like this. Listen, you can't fight it. Oh, I remember the story of Oedipus. How many of us heard the story of Oedipus? Never heard the story of Oedipus? Uh-huh. The Greek mythology. I told the story in my book, I think, Acquire Life. I told that story there. Listen, let me tell you something about natural things. This one I have discovered. Most people end up in the center of the thing they are running away from. Let me say it to you again. Hear it. I'm not scaring you. I'm declaring truth to you. Most who are working hard now because of poverty will end up poor. Most who are being very careful so that they don't marry a wicked man like their mother did, we end up marrying a man worse than their mothers. I'm telling you, I've seen this thing several times. Do you know why? Please, get that book and read it, Acquire Life. There's a reason. The reason is because the very steps they are taking to escape that problem is what is leading into the problem. I read the story of one man of God who, because his father was a preacher and was poor, as an old man, he went to visit his father, and his father did not have a house. This was in America. The young man, also a preacher, swore that he would never suffer like his father. And he began to work hard so as not to suffer like his father. And because of that, he never had money, he never had a good ministry. Let me tell you something. There is no escape in life apart from in God. Oh God, I wish you would get to my point. Only a fool is not afraid except God has given him a word. I don't know whether you understand my point. If you have seen problems in life and you are afraid, please, listen, half of your problem is already solved. Once a friend of mine, because I traveled and he had not seen me for a long time, he came to take me out. That day, he took me to a restaurant in the afternoon. And we sat there. 2 hours after we finished eating, we were still talking. In fact, the day I called him on the phone, I said, "Oh boy, how now?" No, he called me. "Ah, I heard you are around." I said, "I'm around." I said, "So how's madam?" He laughed. Because we're in school together. I've been married for almost 10 years. So I assumed he was married. He laughed. He said, "I'm not married now." I said, "Are you serious?" I thought, he laughed. Anyway, cut the long story short. He said, "We'll see now." So that day he came to pick me and we went out and started talking. So we go to the marriage matters. He told me stories. All kinds of things he has seen in his church. All kinds of stories. And that, I'll be honest with you, Banky, I think I'm afraid. That one of the problems why he's not married is because he has thought about all the problems that can arise. And actually, as a matter of fact, he's afraid. That everybody keeps on telling him, "Well, you're afraid. Go and get married." That day, by the time we finished, he said something. He said, "You're the first person that's helping me." You know why? I told him the truth. I said, "Oh boy, listen, before I tell you what I told him. When Jesus told the disciples they couldn't divorce their wives, what did they say?" He said, "In that case, it's better not to marry." These are men who understood problems in life. Not all these young boys and girls that are feeling very happy. The love that an 18-year-old boy has is pure. It doesn't understand problems. The other day I was in class, one of my students was married. I found out she was married. I said, "Right now, your husband and you are feeling very happy with yourselves, and I made something that you see, you are still very..." He said, "Ah, it will be like that forever." I said, "Shut up." I said, "Pastor Banky, you don't have faith." Listen, my friend. I have faith. And I dare to say, I have a happier marriage than most people can ever wish for. That's not bragging. No. A lot of people don't know the kind of joy I have is practical. They think it's impossible. So don't think I'm telling you out of something. I don't have a bad experience. My wife loves me like mad. I think my wife loves me than she loves any other person on earth apart from God. She will gladly sell her 4 children if that's what she needs to give up to keep her husband. Am I lying? And I love my wife very much too. I tell my children once in a while, "All of you, get out. You are products of the love I have for your wife, for your mother. So why are you coming to this? All of you go away. I don't want to see all of you." Before you, she was. So just go. But why did I say that? I said, now listen, disciples of Jesus, they said in dark it's better not to marry. I have had times when I told my wife, "I wish I could send you back to your father." But that's why I told you, don't take marriage vow that doesn't have better for worse till death do us pass in it. All these Pentecostal vows, they make me laugh. From today, we shall be one. That's nonsense. For better, for worse, I love that one. God wrote it, I believe. For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. That's why it's a covenant. Any other thing short of that is an arrangement. Do you follow what I'm saying? Like I always say, if they didn't give you that one in church, go home and do it yourself. It's very crucial. It's very crucial. So I told my friend, I said that you are afraid is good. That a lot of people are not afraid, not because they have faith, but because they don't understand the problems. Do you know? Look, listen. Do you know there are people that they don't understand what it means for water not to run? I heard a story once, a lady, Nigerian woman, in the UK. One day in their school premises, water wasn't flowing in their hostel. And everybody was sitting there. They didn't go to school. So she went to another portion where water was flowing, got water in a container, and began to use the Nigerian method, dip a bowl and pour the water. They were,
oh, very ingenious. I mean, you know, like, how did they think about that? You know. I'm telling you, it was talk. See, this girl is so ingenious. Say, you carry bowl. The one where you and I, they do daily. You know, daily. Oh, something. One day my wife said that, I told my husband, please, we have to try and make sure water flows in our house. Let's go somewhere else where water flows. You know why? Because anytime we travel, all right, on holiday to my in-laws' place, my son that time, the boy go pee 20 times in a day. You know why? So he can flush toilet. He will just, that is, I want to pee, I want to pee. And once he pees, he must flush toilet. And peradventure, he doesn't want to pee. He must still enter the place and flush toilet. Ah, I say, bush boy or nugu boy. The Lord is good. What I'm saying is, some people, they have never seen calamity. So their boldness is born out of ignorance, not out of faith. That's why a fool will rush into what angels, where angels fear to tread. You see the fool, boom, he wants to enter. See, what's going to happen? Nothing will happen. Yeah, let's go in. He doesn't even know where they are going into. I told my friend that day, I said, oh boy, there is a reason to be afraid. I said, that you know the reason to be afraid is why you're a believer. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Not because I am bold, but why? Because the Lord is with me. A lot of people don't have God with them. They don't even know there is shadow of death in front. They just walk in. So the devil comes, removes their head, joins it to their legs. Confusion totally. They'll be walking like a man who is using his head to walk. You know, bang, bang, headache every time. Doesn't know what direction he's going. I didn't know it was supposed to be like this. That time he was very loving. Which man won't be loving when he wants something? You want to marry a man just because he's nice? Have you ever seen a man chasing a girl who's not nice, except the girl has a mental problem? You know, there are people who they love pain. Mike Mundock said they are perverts. Yes, they exist. They love pain. If you treat them nice, they won't like you. Slap them around, deny them of things, kick them, treat them like shit. That's when they will like you. May you not marry a woman who's that crazy. Otherwise, normal people, all right, they are nice when they want something. So I told my friend that day, I said, it's good that you are afraid. I said, but that is the beauty of being a believer. Now we cannot take our fear to God. Do you understand my point? We cannot now draw to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Do you follow what I'm saying? I told all of this to let you understand something. A lot of people that run away from problems, they're actually running into that problem through a longer route. Or through another route. Sometimes not even so long. Do you follow the logic? But that somebody will look and say, yes, this is my problem. And go to God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Listen, this is the solution. There is no escape apart from in God. You don't have to repeat the mistakes of the ages past. This height has always been with our ancestors. No, look, in my father's family, no man, all my uncles, they are all divorced. All this one, or in my mother's side, all the women, all my aunties, they are divorced. My second auntie married 4 times. That is, once you see men, you are afraid. There are some very girls that look very nice and holy. It's not as if they are too holy for men. It's more of they think every man is a devil coming to break their heart. So they guard their heart jealously. Because, no, really, I'm telling you the truth. These things happen. People are just, they're in bondage. What is the escape? When you know it's very good, you package everything. You know one of the Bible stories I love the most? Ezekiel's story. He said, God, maybe you can read the letter yourself. All the letters that the Assyrians wrote to him, he went to the temple and laid it down. And said, God, see them. They said they will kill us, share our women, kill our children, do this one, raise your name. Will you let that happen? He said, God, you know, we don't have any defense against them. You are either with us or we are dead. And God called Isaiah and said, come, let me give you a message for Ezekiel. Go and tell him that they won't shoot one arrow, one, into this city. Listen to me, there is no defense, there is no escape but in God. That's what I'm saying. You take those same problems and go to God. I tell you, that's why Jesus, those who don't serve Jesus, I don't know what they are serving. There are times I enter the house, I just say, Father God, how do they cope, those that don't know you? Because everybody has troubles. Sometimes issues happen and they want to give me a headache and give me confusion. At such times, I know what to do. I retire early. Sometimes I sleep first and wake up and grab a Bible. Read Psalm 23. Or read somewhere in the book of Ephesians. Or read a prophecy from Isaiah and begin to pray. And eventually I fall back to sleep, having quietened my soul. So at the end in the morning, I ask God, what happens to those that don't have this privilege? That is why, listen to me, if you don't serve God, you will serve Satan. You can't help it. Hear it clearly. If you don't serve God, you will serve the devil. Listen, this life, you don't have that amount of power. If you don't serve God, you will serve the devil. For sure. A lot of men who, you know, you see them outside shining, driving flashy cars. Go and see where they go at night. Go and see where they go at night. The man has a PhD. He's a professor. He's talking big English. Arguing that the Bible is not... When I hear this guy, I just be laughing. Oh God, I know where you go at night. Your types, they always go there. Because if you don't serve God, you will serve the devil. One old Baba in the village that cannot count 1 to 3 in English, we tell him, kneel down, remove your cap, use dirty leaves, pour it on his head. Tell him he will walk around naked at 12 midnight to a junction with this sacrifice. And he will say, yes, sir. He's looking for help. It's not possible that you won't serve God and you will not serve the devil. You must serve one of them. And listen, those men who go to those places, it's not out of joy. It's out of what? Desperation. There are issues. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. You are following the point I'm making. That's why, look, when we talk about give your life to Christ, I don't know why people beg people. I say, oh God, don't give your life to Christ. Satan will soon show you the reason why you should. We'll see you when you need us. As for us to be begging you, please now come to church. Beg you. Peter will finish preaching. They'll say, Peter, please, excuse me. What must I do to be saved? I hope you're following the point I'm making. Please, let me try and consider what I wanted to say. So you see, the problem is that people trying to run away from things that scare them. So a girl feels like, all my life I've been very poor because my father is not rich. When my friends were wearing the fine clothes, I wore the old ones. When all of them were using nice phones, I used discarded phones. Therefore, listen to the recipe for solution. Therefore, I will not let this happen to my children. I will marry a rich man. God said, very fine. Another whole generation before this problem stops. So when the young men come around, men of vision, is what, look, when he's a Christian, you can be sure that if you have this attitude, you're in trouble. If you're a Christian. When young men who are serious with God, who are going somewhere in life, come, you just look. Ah! As the guy is talking, it is sizing moto. Then they calculate, say, this guy nothing. He doesn't have money. And the Bible says, the man with an evil eye runs after wealth, but does not know that poverty will come upon him. That's a verdict. Listen, money is one of the stupidest things that Satan uses to deceive people. You know why? Because it's there in the Bible. It can grow. It can grow wings and fly away. Said, when wealth increases, don't set your mind upon it. Don't. If you are rich today, don't even worry. Look, don't think that you are made for life. It can disappear tomorrow. I have seen people who had money before. Next day, they are begging. No, really, I've seen it before. This not. I'm sure you too, you have seen it. It happens all the time. I remember once I was watching one whole movie at home. This was on TV. I had a good laugh that day. It was K.O.K. Kanayo that was acting that role. His wife's brother was yapping him. Stupid man, useless man. It was a movie and I was laughing. You know why I was laughing? Because the man, he didn't talk. The girl, the wife and the brother, they were angry with him, abusing him thoroughly. Just sat down there. Just tapping his feet. After they left, they said, oh, now I'm a stupid man. Eh? When I was sending all of you money, I was not stupid that time. When you were in school and I was sending you money, I was not stupid that time. When I was taking you abroad, I was not stupid that time. He's like recounting stories of how he used to be rich, you know? And I was laughing because it's a movie, but that's how life is. That is how life is.
Are you getting my point? The young woman looks and says, no, it won't happen in my generations after now. And God says, fine, you don't understand. I want to help you, but you have made the decision that will make sure it happens again. You are getting the point I'm making? What should such a young woman do? I've told you, listen, there's no substitute for prayer. There's no help but in God. You will go home. You know, God is very kind. Let me beg you, don't speak any language, words you don't understand when you first approach the throne of God. What I mean is that you enter the place. Lord, I want to pray. O thou Father that dwellest in light unapproachable, whose feet stretches from Jupiter down to the earth, who tabernacles in light that men cannot approach. When you start like that, God knows you are not ready yet. Yes, he knows. But you know why? You don't know what you are saying. If I say, Lord, Pentecostals don't like it, but it's the truth. I'm not saying don't speak in tongues. Like Paul said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. That's not what I'm saying. When you want to pray, approach his court with thanksgiving. And his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Lord, we just worship you. And we come because thy name is still so excellent. And the excellency of thy name is unfathomable. And the unfathomability of your name overcomes all impossibilities. And the tremendity. God will just look and say, look, Gabriel, when she's ready to start, call me. Am I saying you shouldn't praise God? You should. How do you praise God? God in heaven, the only one who can help those who need help. Do you know, that makes meaning. God said, very fine, that's my name. When people are poor, it is you they come to for prosperity. He said, then you know me very well. In the time of sickness, who can heal but you, my God? Don't use any phone. If you can, use the language you know the most. If you normally speak in Igbo, speak Igbo. If your normal language is English, speak English. If it is Greek, you like to, you know how to speak, speak it. But please don't perform. Oh boy, if you want to lie on the floor and cry, it's a good thing. Shut the door, cry. Say, God, I'm coming, let me finish my cry. Cry, 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 cry. Carry all the water in the bowl. Say, what are you doing? Say, Lord, this is your sacrifice for today. These tears. My son, what are you looking for? I'm afraid. I won't lie to you. I am afraid. Listen, the things you say in God's presence, when you direct them towards him, they are not unbelief. It's when you go and tell your friends, hey, I'm afraid, what shall we do? That's unbelief. When you go to God and say, have you seen the giants? Or say, there's trouble. That's why I have come to meet you. Then he will give you a word. God is so kind that he looked at Gideon. He said, peradventure, your heart is still afraid. Then come. Take one of your men. Sneak into the camp of the Midianites. You will hear words that will give you encouragement. And he went in there and he heard one Midianite telling the other one that I dreamt. What did you dream? I dreamt that one loaf of bread, a piece of nothing, fell upon the camp. All of us perished. And that one said, that must be Gideon. When Gideon heard that, he knew God was with him. I'm telling you, some of you have never seen the manifestation of God because you haven't approached him truly. I know you have fasted and prayed, but you haven't talked to God properly. You have jumped all night. This is the day that go home. For you, those kind of prayers, you can't pray them in public. You crawl alone. Say, Father, my auntie is divorced. My grandmother was divorced. My mother right now, you know she's not with her husband. That's my father. These are the problems. This is why I don't want to marry. It's not because I hate this man. I have a feeling it seems to run in families. It looks like this will be my portion. This is another thing. But I have heard you are the God of the impossible. I heard that if any man and any woman be in Christ, she's a new creature. All things are passed away. Will it be my portion? Listen to me. If God needs to, he will speak to you in a voice you can hear. Listen, you can't approach God with confidence, with boldness, with sincerity, and he won't answer you. It's not possible. He won't leave you alone until you have gotten a word of assurance. The problem is that you have chosen your own path. The Bible said, those that kindle their own fires, this they will hand of my hand, they will lie down in torment. Some
Somebody now lied to you that if you don't ever want to be divorced, you will now prepare a 400 question questionnaire. And the young brother who's chasing you will ask you, am I applying for a job here? How many of you and your family? Yeah, six. Where's your grandfather from? How did she meet your grandmother? What does your father do? What does your mother do? Has your father ever slapped your mother? Was in your presence the friendly presence of your siblings? After a while, the guy will look and say, are they come? When he appears again, he will show you his certificate of NYSC. You know what I mean? MBA, what do you call first degree, second degree. Maybe it's a job interview he's attending. Discharge, he will show you everything. Send you that thing, madam, MD. This is my CV. Study it overnight. I'll be back tomorrow. Where are you going now? Oh boy, I'm going because I don't understand what's going on here. I have seen women that they are so afraid. They believe that every man is an adulterer. And listen, your faith creates things in your life. You know, there's one thing about faith. God will look for responsible men and make sure they don't come near you. Because your faith will wreck their life. Are you getting what I'm saying? But if you approach God in sincerity, say, Baba God, please help me. You see, God is very kind though. I know what I'm saying. He's very kind. He will understand. I mean, the Bible said he's mindful that we are but flesh. He will understand. You will prophesy, oh God. If God needs to create a brand new man for only you, he will do it. Say, this one will love you till you die. And you will see a vision that will play the whole life. I'm telling you the truth. But this is the problem. People want to create their own path out of their problems. So they say, I will never marry a man that doesn't. When she's getting married, you see the guy will be rich. But because she has a poverty soul, oh God. Because her spirit is a spirit of poverty. Once she marries him, his problems begin. And God knows what he's doing. Normally what he does is that the man who is destined for trouble, he sends the person that guy's ways. Do you understand my point? The man who will have trouble in life, he will send the person in the direction of that woman. The two of them will merge and problems will begin in their lives. But what should they have done? What should she have done? Simply have walked up to God and prayed. And then she will really have married the man she really loves. Do you understand my point? And together they will have struggled. Okay? And together they will have triumphed. And together they will have become rich. Do you follow my point? Listen, let me tell you the truth. You can deliver her all you want. Okay? You can. You can pray all the prayer that you want. You can cast out all the witches and all the demons. She will not be free. Do you know why? Because only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Only by the word of God is somebody delivered. No, there's a reason why I went all of this. Don't forget what as I say. That what would the person have gotten deliverance from? The word of God. Because a lot of the things that happen in life, go and check all those ones. They say, everybody, every man is always leaving the women in our family. Go and check all the women. They are stubborn. They don't listen. That is where Satan tabernacles in their lives. God will show them revelation. Show them revelation. See, no, there's no witch in your auntie. There's no witch in your mother. There's no witch in anybody. You know the problem? All of you don't understand what it means to have a husband. And what Satan has been doing is to blind your ears. Now you have prayed. Do you understand? I will open your ears and revelation will come to you. Now, this is what I'm saying. When men want to solve problems, they physically struggle. When God wants to solve problems, he gives a word. He sent his word and it healed them and did what? Delivered them out of all their destructions, all their struggles, all their troubles. Is the word that he sends that heals. What am I saying? So when the young woman learns the word of marriage, listen to what I said though. When her light comes, then God gives her a marriage that will shine forth, and this is a good part, and give encouragement to all the women coming after her. Are you getting what I'm saying? When the man hears a word of prosperity and believes God's order, do you follow? Because like I told you, when people are trying to run out of problems, oftentimes that's when they enter into the problems properly. They say, I will never be poor, I will never be poor, I will never be poor. They become very sharp in business. God said, very fine. Start stealing.
Listen, if you want to be poor in life, let me give you a few things to do to ensure that you will never do well. Cheat people. You hear what I said? Cheat people. You will never do well in life. Make sure you cannot be trusted. That's the beginning of your problems. A lot of people, you know why they do that? They think that is the way to make money quick. But God said, if I want to help you, you know what I will do? First thing, I sit you down. That's why while editing that series, our seeds program, I was very excited. Because truths were being told. I was hearing it again. And if anybody practices those words, especially when his sins have been forgiven, which is obtainable in Christ Jesus, then success and victory is the person's portion. Do you follow my point? Now listen, when you have now heard the word of truth, that's what I'm saying. God now leads you in the path of righteousness so that you will enter into the victory that will bring you real prosperity. I hope you are following what I'm saying. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to try. I was telling you the story about Mary Kay. Because of the words that she knew that were the proper lights to use to do business, God gave her a platform to shine. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's why Jesus said, therefore I say to you, take care how you hear. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, the emphasis is not on struggle, but on what? Hearing. The emphasis is not on what? Struggles, but on what? Hearing. That is, it's when I focus on hearing that I imbibe the truth. The word enters into my heart. He said, take care how you hear. I go with my heart in prayer to God. Say, God, cleanse his heart. And let me tell you, to him that has, more shall be given. What does that mean? When you have a wicked heart that doesn't receive the truth, God will first reveal it to you that you are a stubborn person. How do you eradicate stubbornness from your heart? It's simple. It's not a determination. It's a prayer. New Year resolutions don't work. You don't even need to do these things on the New Year. If you find out the problem is on, if you find out your problem with you on December 25th, do it that day. If it's October 15th, do it that day. If it's April 5th, do it that day. If it's January 22nd, that is, forget New Year. You don't need a resolution. What you need is a prayer. Let me recommend this book to you again. Ben Carson's story. Gifted Hands. I was reading it again a few days ago. And the man said when he discovered he had anger. Now, that the anger was as if he had hold on him. That the first day he was arguing with a friend, he didn't know when he hit the guy with a lock in his hand and broke the guy's head. The day he knew there was real trouble was when his brother jumped on him to hold him from punching his mother. And the day he really became scared, when he knew things were bad, was when he took a knife and stabbed his friend. What saved the boy? The boy was wearing under his shirt a big belt, you know, belt with big buckle, like a paramilitary belt. And the knife hit the belt and dropped on the floor. He said he looked at the knife and began to cry, apologized to his friend, and ran home. Ran home, there was nobody, ran into the bathroom, locked the door, and began to cry and pray. He said he cried and he prayed and he begged God. Listen to me, that was the last day till today. In fact, his colleagues in the office call him Gentle Ben. That's how much gentleness has come into his soul. If he said, I'll never be angry again, don't worry. The next one, a soldier, you go slap. The soldier will show you something. I'm telling you, soldier, by the time he's through with you, you won't know they're in front of the barracks. By the time he finishes punching the living daylight out of you and removing all your intestine. And you think you will stop, you won't stop. Listen, all the challenges of your life, God is trying to use them to drag you to him. That young man, as a young teenage boy, he knew where to go. He ran to the bathroom to go and meet God. He stayed there and prayed until God removed that. Look, you see, listen, I've told you, the problem is not, no witch is chasing you. Witches don't chase people that don't have personal problems. Did you hear what I said? Let me say to you, Satan cannot hold a person that doesn't have a personal problem. And if you know you have a personal problem, better run to God and go and confess it. And go and beg for help. What most people do is rationalize. It's not my fault now. Why should he say that kind of thing? He didn't know I was angry. And I didn't mean to stab him, but you know, he should have known when to stop. When a man is getting angry like that, he should stop. God said, this one doesn't need help yet. It doesn't need help yet. Are you following the point I'm making? Are you following the point I'm making? Listen, once the word of God comes, he removes something from you, enabling you to hear better words. Do you get what I'm saying?
And when the final light dawns upon your soul, it's a matter of time. Because you see, that's why I said the word works by itself. God has, see, he's the one that lighted your candle. Do you follow my point? He said, no man lights a candle and then hides it under a bushel. That is the person that lights the candle that puts it on the candlestick. That's why we read from that Revelation. Listen, this is what Christians do. You want to be successful as a businessman, don't try and build a business. Go and learn what it means to be a businessman. Go and learn how God defines success. Go and learn what God calls right and wrong. Sit down and learn it. Then a good business will grow out of you naturally. Success will follow you without effort. Are you getting my point? You hear that? Okay, everybody has been divorcing. You see, let me tell you, nobody is happy driving away a wife he has had for 20 years. Nobody. So you ask yourself, look, I don't mean to be angry with women, but this is a matter of fact. Most of the women that their wives drive away after 20 years, the man endured her for 18. I don't know whether I get the point. I'm not saying all. There are some crazy guys out there, I know. But let's not use them as standard. Most, the men endured. Vice versa too. There are women that just say, I beg. Say, I never died in the last 18 years. Nah, God. What I'm bringing up from there is this. So don't think that they are stupid people. They just didn't understand what made for success in that area. Do you understand my point? They just didn't understand what made for success. So what will God give you? He will give you light and understanding of what makes for success. And then he will now give you a platform to manifest that light. I'm not a perfect man. Far from it. I'm getting better every day. But let me even tell you one of the things that I got better in. My wife will love to hear this. For a long time, they're saying this my wife does, and this just gist for you, all right? And the thing used to annoy me, like, what used to annoy me is that, you know, because I hate telling somebody something 5 times, 7 times, and the person still is doing it, like those who come late and sit anyhow, you know, that kind of thing. That's why I said, nobody passes that day, I just got tired, all right? Uh-huh. Now, so there's just one, I found out that one thing my wife would be annoying me on one single, the same thing, you know, 5 years after you're married, the same thing. Then last year, the Lord gave me revelation. She's looking at me. Say, what is the revelation? I'll tell you. Revelation was that she's doing it deliberately to annoy you. It's not as if she hasn't learned it. That when she wants you to get angry, she will not do this. And so, you know what happened? When she does it, I'm not the vex again. When my wife has a particular attitude, I just say, you know what she wants to do? She wants me to get angry. And now we refuse to get angry. It makes it more painful to her. I learned that just last year. For your information, this year, with 10 years I got married. It's in the 9th year I learned this one. The bank, you don't get angry. That's the purpose. That is, when you want to attract somebody's attention, you know what I mean? The person is not listening. We begin to do all go vex them. What am I saying? We keep learning every day, all right? But this is the main thing I want to say. But fundamentally, the things I practice today, I learned them as a child. And when I say child now, as a young man on campus. The two shall become one flesh. Till today, it amazes me how some believers practice it. Husband has her money. Wife has her money. Is it husband that has her money? Okay, husband has his money. All right, sorry. Wife has her money. And each person decides what they do with their monies. Listen, I don't know which gospel you will learn. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, that's not the gospel of God. Listen, nobody taught it to me. I meditated those as a young man. I said, it doesn't make any sense. The two shall become one flesh. The two, everything they will have shall be in common. I learned that one as a young man. And I said I was going to practice it. Believe me, I used to say that my wife can't have two bosses. The guy at home and the guy in the office will be leaving me at 7 o'clock. I'm coming back at 7 p.m. If it's because you have money, I say it's not because it's not because you have money, anything. All right? I know people who earn 10 times what I earn and their wives still struggling money till night. Why is it like that with me? It is because of what I believed 10 years ago. It has become flesh. And the word becomes what? Flesh and dwells amongst us. If you imbibe the word of God, it will become flesh and dwell in your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you imbibe the word of God, I said what? It will become flesh and dwell inside you. If you imbibe the word of God, it will become flesh and manifest. If you hear the truth concerning marriage, your marriage will be excellent. Do you follow what I'm saying? If you hear the truth, people say if you want to be a millionaire, think like a millionaire. I don't nonsense. If you want to be a millionaire, think like a servant. Jesus said, whosoever will be the greatest amongst you, let him be the servant of all. That what makes for greatness is service. So you want to enter into business, go and ask yourself, how do I serve people? Whatever you want to do in this life as a believer, go and find out, how do I serve people in it? That's how you profit with God's word. And the only way is, how can a young man keep his ways pure? How is it? By keeping it according to your word. That is, once you have imbibed what God says, by himself, he will give you a platform to produce the manifestation. Do you follow the point I'm making? Listen, let me say this one again, because I know it annoys people in Eastern Nigeria. Actually, the whole of Nigeria, just because I'm a preacher in Eastern Nigeria. I'd like to say it again. To the Christian, there's no witch worrying you. Did I hear an amen? Amen. There's no generational curse that can disturb you. Say another amen for me. Amen. The only problem Christians have is ignorance and lack of knowledge of the truth. He said, my people perish, not because of their enemies. My people perish. He never said it was because of what they don't have. My people perish. It's not because of the generational curses against them. My people perish. He said it's because of what? Lack of knowledge. When you do your things the way the world does it, you get exactly what they get as results. He said, from Zion will flow forth the law. That is, we set the new standards for people to follow. Let me say it to you again. God is looking for you to help him set his standard for the generations after you. Did I hear an amen? That is, when you have done what is right, people will give you as an example. Do you follow? I always tell my wife, I say, look, it's not just about you. It's about the young women who are, you know, if, that is, there are some people that, and that's the way God did it too. It's not because of any other thing. It's just the way God did it. He has appointed me as a teacher and an instructor of the people of God. Therefore, young women will look at my wife and want to behave the way she's behaving, naturally. So if you see her, say, Pastor Mark, come here, Joab, wouldn't they worry you? You don't know, it's inside your soul. Then when one brother is chasing you, Pastor Mark, come out, wouldn't they do you for head? And when he gets angry, he says, after all, Pastor Mark doesn't get angry. And the guy will look at you and say, you and your Pastor Mark, two of you are the crazy. Do you know my point? He said, let the older women teach the younger ones how to love their husband. It is a process of loving a husband. Let them go and learn it. He talked about Sarah. He said, whose daughters are ye if you continue in the faith? That there's something that makes you a daughter of Sarah. Sarah is supposed to be followed. Only one woman rationalized away the humility of Sarah. I couldn't believe it when I heard it, when my wife reported to me. I said, now, you see, the word has become flesh in her life. She said Sarah was a stupid woman, in summary. At that night, we're talking, 4 years had passed, she and her young husband had been divorced, separated. You can't believe that Sarah is stupid and you remain in a good home. It's not possible. Are you out of your mind? It's not possible. So you see, Sarah was a woman that was laid back. It's not a typical woman. Not a, eh? My wife looked like, said, wait, which Bible, when she came home, said, my husband, please come. Which Bible are some people reading? This was what I heard today. Relax. Ask her where her husband is. Then you understand that this world doesn't work like that. I hope you've got my point. This is how you prosper from God's word. Perseverance. The word must sink into you. You hold on to it fast. In the midst of trials, listen, some people are going to call you woman rapper when you begin to love your wife. You know what I'm saying? You know, they almost, I can't begin to discuss this. Maybe amongst married men we'll discuss it. There's some stupid questions I used to hear that time. Can you wash your wife's pants? Yeah, you're a fool if you can't. You want me to say it again? You want me to insult those who can't again? You know, some things are very stupid. Very easy. No. I could just say, look. You ask me that kind of question. If you're not careful, go wash your head, Joy. The Lord is good. What I'm saying is that there are times people will laugh at you. A man said that you can't let your wife know all the money you have. Me? I can. And I have, and I continue to do it. Not only the one I have, the one I'm even expecting.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
And listen, that gives my heart more, gives my wife more secure than any other. She knows all the money I have, so believe me, her heart is secure. Therefore, she trusts me everywhere I go. Maybe somebody will say, Pastor Frank, who are you talking to today? See the kinds of texts they sent you on phone. I've gotten all kinds of very lovely texts. You know, people love me very much, male and female. Doesn't mean anything to my wife. Just pray, she go read them. Pastor, one of your girlfriends sent you text. Now you go read them for me. I say, which one of them? The day she said that one, say, one of your girlfriends. I say, which one of them? I say, oh, are there plenty? I say, you know now. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The word becomes flesh. If you believe that which is true, it will produce results in your life. I hope you have made my point today. Father God, I thank you for the word that has come for today. Bless your people, increase them. And this coming week, let great things, luck, you know what we mean by luck here, blessing, let it manifest upon their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as I was speaking, there are those who their hearts are drawing towards certain things that have been fears in their hearts. Lord, tonight they will come before your throne. I ask, in agreement with them ahead of time, that your Holy Spirit will go to that place of their fears and fill it with confidence and the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, as you go to pray, the Spirit of God will guide you. Speak, look, freely. You don't have to perform before God. He will solve your problems this night in the name of Jesus. You will arise from that place of prayer with the word of truth. Listen, once that word comes, there is a word that will come. Some will hear, don't be afraid. Go and write it down. Write it somewhere, put a date on it. Some will hear, do something, write that thing down. Others will hear, stop listening to this. There are people that they will tell you, there's a particular auntie of yours, don't visit her again. Because that's the person who has been poisoning your soul. Write it down. She's not a witch, it's just her bad words. Her bad words. Write it down and don't go near that home again. God will give you direct steps concerning what to do. Listen, you are a victor. You are a victorious person. You're not a failure. You will never lose your husband in the name of Jesus Christ. You will never be poor in Jesus' name. Listen, there are men, listen to this carefully. There are men who were going to be poor. I told you that Kenny Higgins said that he told the Lord that my wife, I have a sense in myself that she's supposed to die early. And God said, yes, it is true. But she lived to be over 80 years of age and died as a fulfilled old great grandmother. Why? Because she married a man who could pray. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, there are men who were destined for poverty, but they will marry you because you have prayed a prayer of prosperity and both of you will become wealthy in the name of Jesus Christ. Look, there are girls who were destined. Listen, I don't have time to discuss the meaning of destiny. For broken homes, lack of children, all kinds of things. But you as a young man, you will marry her because of the strength of your soul. Together, you will be married for more than 70 years. And you will see your children, your children's children, and their own children also, in the name of Jesus. And this is how much you will prosper. The kind of gifts that you will give your daughters, your sons who are marrying, are these companies, cars. Do you understand my point? You say, oh, you are getting married. This arm of the company is yours, in the name of Jesus Christ. God's desire, he said, I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. In the name of Jesus, you will prosper. In the name of Jesus, you will prosper. Listen, there's no curse against you. Listen to me. You will not die early. They said, don't go to your village. Go. Surprise your father. Go. Show up in the midst of everybody. I declare to you as a servant of God, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Because there is a righteousness in Christ Jesus. You have been washed by that blood. All the blood of Jesus. It says it washes white as snow. Are you getting my point? Nothing can touch that purified soul of yours. Because indeed, the hedge of God is around you in the name of Jesus Christ. Child of God, don't be afraid. You are a victor. You are a victor. You are above alone, you are not beneath. You will not fail, you will succeed. Let me say it again. You will not fail, but you will succeed. In the name of Jesus Christ. I commend you to God, Paul said, and I'm saying it to you again. And to the word of his grace. He said that word is able to build you up. It will give you your own inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. In the name of Jesus Christ. It will give you your inheritance.